You want to know the most beautiful verse in the Old Testament? Remember Jonah 1:1? It said, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah and he ran. Watch this. Jonah 3:1. Read it with me. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Oh, I love that so much. He failed God, ran the other way. But Jonah 3:1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne took us through the life of Jonah, a guy who booked a cruise heading east when he should have hopped on a camel going west. Well, if it sounds like anyone you know, if your camel is headed in the wrong direction, there's good news. God is a God of second chances. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, A Little Bit of Jonah.
But the cool thing is even though Jonah is in slumber, while the devil is attempting to steal his whole ministry and future, God does not give up on Jonah. I mean, God put his hand on Jonah, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and put his hand on him, and even though Jonah's running, God won't let him go. Are you glad for that? God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, why? Instead of why not? And it got him into all kinds of trouble. And there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. God asks us, go to church. Instead of saying, why not? We say, why? Serve, why? Be a part of what I'm doing, why? And we're vulnerable, and the enemy smells it. And Jonah begins to run, but God put his hand on Jonah. And so when we run, it's like this. It's run. Ooh, look, Wayne, he's running. Run, run, run. Ooh, run, you're fast. Ooh. And God will stay with you until he brings you back home. And whatever he has to do, he will do, because he loves us. And even when he's in the belly of a whale, it's because of God's love. God doesn't give up on Jonah, and he won't give up on you. See, some of us are coming to church, but you're running from God. You come to church every week, but you're running from God. You're running from what God has said to you about your marriage. You run the other way. God said, do one thing, you run the other way. But we still come to church because we need our facade to stay up, see, while the devil erodes our soul. Happens throughout Christendom. I see it all over the world. You can come to church. You can be a person serving in the church and you're running from God. You could be a pastor. You could be an elder. You could be a board member and you could be running from God. But here's some good news. I've got good news for you. Are you ready? Here it is. It's never too late to stop running from God. It's never too late. Add God back into the equation of your life. There's a book that was written some time ago. It was called Dying at the Top, about people that were rich and famous. And when they come to the end of their life, they survey their life. And what do they say? And this one man wrote this. He said, now that the struggle is over, I can survey my life. I became rich and famous. I had a beautiful wife and everything I've ever wanted. But one thing I didn't do, I forgot to add God into the equation of my life. And now I've been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I've lost it all. Nothing really makes sense at this point. My God, he says in regret, I wish I would have taken a better road. You see, what happens is when you come to the end, if you're running from God, it's a dead end. It doesn't work. And when God asked Jonah to go to Nineveh, he asked why. So God sent a storm. Here's a life essential tip. Don't wait for the storms. Don't wait for the whale. If you're not a Christian, start following him today. If you're a Christian, stop running today. Otherwise, it will be too late. Think about it. This is our chance, this generation, what God's asking us to do. This is our chance in life, with our families, with our ministry, with Hawaii. This is our chance. It'll soon be over. In a few years, You will be replaced by another crowd in this auditorium. Maybe our kids, maybe our grandkids, but another crowd, because we will have died and gone, hopefully, to heaven. But another crowd's going to be here. This is our run, you see. And so there's no better time to say, God, why not? And begin to follow Him. See, God will not give up on people that are running from God. So here is the gist of the whole story of Jonah. Are you ready? In Matthew chapter 12, Pharisees came to Jesus and said, hey, you multiplied bread and fish. Do another magic trick for us. We'd like to see another sign. You know what Jesus answered? Listen to this. An evil and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall be given them except the sign of Jonah, who for 3 days and three nights was in the belly of a fish. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. You know what the book of Jonah is? It's the gospel. It's the gospel that Jesus paid for your sins and mine when we were running. And when Jonah should have been under the water dead, God raised him up and gave him another chance. You know what the book of Jonah is? It's a story of the gospel. The gospel of the second chance. And by the way, those of you that are going to be baptized this weekend, when you go under the water, you know what you're saying in baptism? This should be me. I should drown like Jonah. I should be dead. But by the power of Christ, I live by His grace. I changed my mind. You know what the word repentance means in the Greek? Metanoia. Meta is to change. Nuos is your mind. You know what repentance is? I changed my mind about God. I love Him. I used to reject Him, and now I accept Him. I used to run from Him. Now I'm running to Him. You understand? And I should have been dead under the water, but I now live under Christ. Because I changed my mind. It's a beautiful and powerful public statement of what God has done. And Jonah is the gospel that Jesus refers to in Matthew chapter 12 and talks about the gospel, verses 38 to 42. So, you want to know the most beautiful verse in the Old Testament? Remember in Jonah 1:1, it said, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah and he ran. Watch this, Jonah 3:1. Read it with me. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Oh, I love that so much. He failed God, ran the other way. But Jonah 3:1, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. I look at this generation and what God is calling us to do. He's been faithful in the past. He's faithful yet today. But it's like, you know what we're starting? You know how you have upgrades in software, you know, upgrade. This is Apple version 1.1, 2.1, etc. This is New Hope 3.1 out of Jonah 3:1. And the word of the Lord comes to New Hope a second time. I'm going to move you into New Hope 3.1 out of Jonah 3:1. And God is saying, if you will come to me, I have a future for you. And you know what happens? The whale, after 3 days in the belly of this whale, irps him up on the sea of the Mediterranean by Joppa, where he started. And I thought, if you would have listened to God the first time, you would have saved yourself all of this problem. So he's up on the Mediterranean shoreline, walks into Nineveh because the word of the Lord came to him a second time. I still love you, and my plans aren't going to change, but I will change your mind. So he goes to Nineveh and preaches, and from the king downward, they all receive God. They all repent, change their mind. They all repent from the king downward. You know what it says in Jonah? It says 120,000 people. Turn to God. I mean, it's like all of downtown Honolulu gets saved. Wouldn't that be great? It's like, unless there's a widespread revival in Hawaii and the U.S., we're beyond hope. We're going the wrong way. So how could a revival begin? By people who understand that Jonah is about us, that Jonah is a little bit of Jonah in each of us. And if we will stop running, then the word of the Lord will come to us. 3.1, New Hope. And this little corner on Sand Island can be a lighthouse of the gospel, and where many will change their mind about God. So he walks into Nineveh and begins to preach to those he despises, he doesn't even like. And from the king downward, they all repent. You would too if someone came to you and preached to you and he was bleached white from bile, had limu hanging out of his hair, and smelled like whale barf. You would repent. And everything changes in Nineveh. I think God is calling us to be a people where the word of the Lord has come a second time. And we're going to upgrade to New Hope 3.1 out of Jonah 3.1. And I look at what God has before us and I think, wow, thank you for giving us another chance, a second chance, a third chance, a fifth chance. Isn't that right? That's the gospel, you understand? That's the gospel in Jonah. We're going to complete the service today with communion because on this 19th anniversary, people say, well, you should have really advanced. You know, there's no better place to advance to than Calvary. And this is where we want to be on this 19th anniversary at Calvary, remembering that for 3 days and three nights, Jesus was in the heart of the earth that we might be able to see his promises and purposes fulfilled for this church. We meet at Calvary. I say to young couples, if you ever drift in your marriage, find each other at Calvary. If you ever lose your way, make it back to Calvary, both of you. If you can't see in the dark, look to the cross on the hill. It'll always be lit. Find each other at Calvary, because there you'll begin afresh. And on this 19th anniversary, we want to meet at Calvary. So we'll end with communion. Now, right before communion, let me give you this story, true story. Rose Bowl, 1929. Georgia Tech is playing the University of California at Berkeley, the Golden Bears. And one of the plays, Georgia Tech fumbles the ball, and one of the people from the University of California at Berkeley retrieves it, but gets jostled and bumped, and in the confusion, sort of loses his equilibrium and direction, but takes off running as hard as he can. Only problem, running the wrong way. One of his own teammates, Benny Lum, sees this error and takes off in hot pursuit after his own teammate, yelling, "Wrong way! Wrong way!" Roy Riegels doesn't hear it and he keeps on running. Benny Lum finally catches up with him, tackles his own player at the 1 yard line. And when Riegels finds out what he's done, he is now aghast with the shame and embarrassment. Now his team has to try to make back 99 yards. Well, Georgia Tech takes him down for a safety. The margin of points that University of California will ultimately lose the game in the end. During halftime, Coach Nibbs Price doesn't know what to do. And just then the referee says, 2 minutes, get out on the field. And so Nibbs Price says, okay, same team that played the first half will start off the second. All right, they go, all except one, a man whose face is buried in his hands. The coach says, hey, Riegels, you heard me. Same team that started the first, going out the second. He looks up with man-sized tears coming down his cheeks. And he says, I've disgraced our team. I've embarrassed the Rose Bowl. In front of 60,000 fans, I bumbled this. I can't go back out. Coach Nibbs Price says, Riegels, the game's only half over. We got a lot of work to do. Get out there and show us what you can do. Really? Absolutely. After the game was over, the Georgia Tech players said that they had never seen someone play so hard as Roy Riegels did the second half. And when I think about that coach, I think, what a coach. But then when I think about how God has given us a second chance and a third chance, and when we ran, he kept his hand on us and did whatever he needed to bring us back to himself, to change our thinking. And when we said, why, God said, why not? And gave us another chance to fulfill his purposes for us in our lives and our futures. And when I think about that, I think, what a God we have. See, that's the gospel. Because there's a little bit of Jonah in every single one of us. But it's never too late to stop running. So I want to encourage those of you that will be baptized today to understand what it is. I deserve to be dead. But by God's grace, I will live. I'm changing my mind about God. And I'm going to walk with him in newness of life. Powerful. That's the whole gospel, you see, a changed life. And on this 19th anniversary, let's meet back at Calvary. So we're going to take communion to seal the fact that God will never let us go. And we want the purpose of our life to match the purpose of God. And God, whatever you need to do, you do it, because this is our run. We don't have another. So come. Be with us, Lord. Thank you for being the God of the second chance as we enter into New Hope 3.1. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. What a God. What a God. Ushers, if you would come, and when they pass out the communion cup and the bread, if you would just take one of each and just hold it till everyone's served. Christina's going to sing a beautiful song about God's faithfulness. For even when we were unfaithful, he remained faithful. And then we'll come and take communion together. Lord, we prepare our hearts to receive your purpose for our life. We choose you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. On the day that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, having broke it, and he blessed it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As oft as you take this, remember me." In other words, he's saying, meet me at the cross when things in your life are broken. And in like manner, after they had supped, he took the cup. After having given thanks, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink it, remember me." In other words, he's saying when there's blood that's been spilled and forgiveness is needed, meet me at the cross. And there we'll begin again. And you put in your name 3.1. So as we take communion on this 19th anniversary, our goal is to meet back at the cross. You don't advance beyond the cross. If you do, you're going away from the presence of the Lord. Set the cross at the cross. For 19 years, God, you've been faithful. You're faithful yet today. You'll be faithful into the future. And we're so grateful for that. And we're willing to be a people who'll be used for your purposes. So would you hold your cup and the bread up before you and let's pray. Father, thank you for this. We ask your blessings as we seal to our hearts your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and take the bread and the cup. Sing that again, would you? Sing that with Christina, would you? Faithful you were, faithful you are, faithful you will be forever, always. Faithful you were for 19 years. Faithful you are today. And as we build our future, sing it again. Faithful you were, faithful you are, faithful you will be forever, always. Faithful you Let's stand together. As you exit, there's a place, be a receptacle. You can just put your cups in there. Happy anniversary on this day. We are reminded that he's been faithful. He still is, and he will be. We always gather and find each other at the cross. And here, he says, it's New Hope 3.1. For I give you an assignment. I won't change my purpose, but we're going to keep changing hearts unto that purpose. It's a new beginning. We're about to build our future. Pray in concert and watch what God's about to do. Lord, would you seal to our hearts your word as you come to us and speak to us. Thank you for being a victorious God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
just heard the conclusion of a message entitled A Little Bit of Jonah by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.